Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have some amazing guests for you today. We're going to teach some today. We're going to learn something today. We're going to share. We're going to laugh. I don't know what's going to happen today. That is the magic of the Roundtable Talk Show. Now, today's show is going to be a little different because you ever do something and it's like the Wizard of Oz, where you have someone behind the curtain that's feeding you information and asking you questions. Well, that's usually what happens on the Roundtable Talk Show. Our first guest is usually in the comment section coming up with the most incredible questions. So guess what? Now today, I have to do all of the work myself. But maybe she'll help me out and ask some of her amazing questions during the show live. But before we introduce that guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, who went from working for the government to being an entrepreneur, working with what many can consider or would consider structure and just things that are in order. That's what the military and the government stands for, to things that are soft and squishy. You know what? But I'm a fan of marshmallows. I love marshmallows. So if it took leaving your day job or your government job to do this, I'm on board. I want to introduce Miss Amy Hughes, who is going to help me live today. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Nice to see you as always. Thank you for my break in my day. And the government is not always about so much structure.
They're not. That's what I was told, that the man is always structured.
Department of Defense, military, yes. And I, 11 years in the Pentagon, yeah, there's structure there. Then you go over to the intel community, and I'm not going to lie, between the White House and the intel community, that's the wild, wild west.
But
there
is no command and control.
But now.
Marshmallows, yeah. Amy, how do we get from government am I the only one who feels like that's a stretch?
No, you're not the only one that feels like it's a stretch, but marshmallows came well before the government did for me.
Oh, wow.
They were a family recipe with my grandma. But with her, she thought we were going off the reservation when we were making peppermint marshmallows. And we did vanilla and we did peppermint. And now for Marshmallow MBA, the hashtag is anything but vanilla. The flavor library is about 170 flavors at this point, two divisions, online retail, and then our wholesale division, which is actually what's been growing the most for us. We don't have a brick and mortar because I don't have a brick and mortar retail shop personality. Mm-hmm. I don't have a poker face. Anyone who's seen me with you before or even reading the comments can know that there's no poker face involved. So if someone, you know, asks me what oftentimes I think is a silly question, my face is going to be like, really? Really? Is this what you're asking me?
Question. I have a silly question.
You don't have a silly question. Go ahead.
I do. And I know this is probably, I don't know, the millionth time I've had you here, but I always say this. I always thought marshmallows were only vanilla. Like, that's the only marshmallow I've ever seen. I've never seen all these 100-something flavors. You just
see this. That's a wine glass full of sangria marshmallows.
Is that the one I'm ordering?
That's the one.
Because I like
getting
sangria. I like sangria.
So we've got a whole collection that we originally, my business partner, Sandra, who was my roommate in undergrad, originally we called our wine marshmallow collection box wine, because who doesn't drink box wine, right? We're like, well, that's hysterical. We're putting them in boxes. It's box wine. No. Mm-hmm. No one thought that was as funny as we did. So now we call them wine o'clock and we can't keep them in stock. It's all about the branding. It's all about the packaging. I mean, every flavor we do tastes delicious. And whether it's double vanilla, whether it's our signature vanilla, which is a fire toasted vanilla, which is a cold smoked sugar that's in the marshmallow base, we don't need to camp. We own homes. We do not need to camp. We can drink on the patio. We can
drink on the patio. After my own heart. Like, I don't do camping either, but I'll take the marshmallow.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So we put the campfire in it for you. And then we've got a whole happy hour line. And we have savory marshmallows. So, you know, it runs, it really just runs a crazy range. We're in 20 states with 170 independent retailers. So not only are we a small business and entrepreneurs, but the retailers that we're working with are all small businesses. I do a Facebook Live session every Monday. We call it Marshmallow Monday Live. Yesterday, we were talking about the impact of small businesses on the US economy. Next week, we're talking about the impact of small business on state and local. Super amazing. I mean, 85% of the businesses in the US are considered to be small businesses, and I'm really proud to be a part of that.
Wow. I'm still, the part that gets me is the whole aspect of these are marshmallows. When you set out to start your own business, I know somebody had to say, you know, this is crazy. Why not go back to your safe, secure resume that you know?
So my parents,
right?
especially my dad. I mean, this is my second small business. I have an independent consulting firm that I stood up right after business school. I got my MBA because I knew I didn't want to be in government service. I was done as a consultant. The work I was doing, still good work, but not fulfilling. I mean, I can't tell you the number of white papers that I've written and business process improvement plans that I've done that I'm sure are sitting on a shelf somewhere or sitting in somebody's, you know, folder on their network that they haven't looked at in 3 years. And that's frustrating when you know that the strategic plans that you're writing and the implementation plans that you're doing would save taxpayer money, our money, sometimes to the tune of more than $1 million. And the response that you're getting is, but I'm not going to have that money in my budget next year. It's all about the money in the budget when you're looking federal government, because that's the power for the directors, or that's the power for your executives that way. But to know that you can do more with less, to me, always made sense. So making the shift from that to something that was real, we never intended to start a candy business. These were gifts for friends and family.
And I mean, but when you, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know me, Amy, that's what I do.
Go.
When you say, I never intended to, I mean, but what was that moment where you said, you know what, everybody loves these marshmallows. They're great. We've been passing around along for generation to generation.
Yeah.
Now let's go and make a business.
I asked a friend who actually named the business. Mm-hmm. I said, if you think this is such a great idea, find five people that'll buy them.
Mm-hmm.
He found 10. All within one company. It was right around Valentine's Day. And this is going to sound really sexist, and I don't mean it to, but men don't plan for the holidays. So, you know, if it's 3 weeks before Valentine's Day, oh, they're not thinking about that. But if it's a week before Valentine's Day, oh, wait, this is something different.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, and that's what happened. To be fair, the end game is not candy with Marshmallow NBA.
Oh, I could tell that just from knowing you, just from understanding you. The end game, if anybody just has one product in mind as the end game, then they are not leveraging everything that they have. That should just be a stepping off for them to go further. And I know you will. Amy, of course, I am going to come back to you, but
please,
I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Joyce Christensen. She's the owner of an environmental consulting company and the author of a book on personal sustainability, The Last Straw, Change Your Life and the Planet for Good. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning, Sharitha. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
You are so welcome. I am so glad that you are here. I love the for good on your book, because I think that as a, you know, as humans, we tend to go through cycles. You know what I mean? I always tell people that, I talk about that on the show. For me, my cycle is always 30 days. I can do just about anything for 30 days. And then I'm like, you know, I try to lose weight. I'll go walk. I'll do this. I'll do that. Then after 30 days, I kind of go back to my life. But we want to make lasting, sustainable changes for good. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Joyce?
Oh, yes. So you're absolutely right. And it's hard. That is the problem, right? We got a million things going on. We got kids, we got work, we got family, you know, maybe we're caretakers. And it's like, ugh, trying to fit in one more thing. It's just too much. It's overwhelming. And will it really make an impact? And is there really value? And I don't know, it's just too hard. So yeah, I talk about this in the book. There's four ways you can kind of work these small sustainable habits into your life where they really stick, right? Like, would you go to bed without brushing your teeth?
No.
Never. No. Well, that was a habit that one day you didn't have. And the next day you did, right? So you make these little wins, you incorporate them into a system or a rhythm, and then you can build on those successes from there. And so one way to incorporate these little habits is to make it cheaper, right? To make it cheaper to use the environmentally friendly product. So a good example of this is renewable energy. These days, it used to be that if you wanted to get wind and solar, you know, if you're in a power to choose state, it was way too expensive. I mean, I was there. I'm like, way too expensive, right? But now it's not. It's super competitive. So it's cheaper, or at least not as expensive. And once you do that, it's kind of one and done. Now suddenly your house is 100% energy sustainable because you're on renewables, right? And then another way is like make it easier, okay? And I don't make any money off this product, but it's like one of my favorite products. And I feel like it's a great example of make it easier. It's called dental lace. Okay. So you floss your teeth every night. You got to open this thing. It's really hard to open. You got a million little floss containers in there in this plastic. You get that open. Hopefully you don't cut yourself. You get your little thing of plastic floss out. You use the plastic coated floss on your teeth and then you throw it away. Right. Well, this dental lace, dentallace.com, it's like, the dental lace is compostable. It's made of like a mulberry silk. How cool is that? And I do actually compost it. At first it was a little gross, but now I'm like, no, I can do this. I can put this on the compost. And then it comes in a little reusable glass container. And then it's like comes in a cardboard container. And then you can get a subscription service and it just comes. It just comes when I need it, you know, however, every few months. And it's like, bam, another little bit of the system in place, right? Another small win. And another way to do it is to, I call it the Ask Five Whys. And this is from Quality and Toyota, you know, a long time ago, right? So, and the cool thing about all of these is you pretty much apply them to anything in your life almost, right? So you ask five whys, you know, I keep using plastic water bottles. I keep forgetting to take my reusable stainless steel water bottle. And it's like, well, why is that? Well, because, you know, I when I clean it out, I stick it in the cabinet and I don't see it. Okay, well, why do you do that? Well, because that's where that stuff goes. Well, why is that? Well, I don't know. I guess I just decided that. Okay, well, you can see where I'm going. I don't need to go through five whys to get there on that one. But it's kind of like, okay, for me, out of sight, out of mind, I got to put it where I see it. So I know that I'm going to refill it and I take it with me every time. Mm-hmm. And then the final way is kind of bundle it with a reward. Whatever the new thing is you want to do, it can also be called a dirt sandwich, all right? So you take the good bread on the outside, you put the stuff you don't like on the inside, and now suddenly you can eat it, right? So if there's something that you really don't like to do, but you know you ought to because it's more sustainable, maybe it's picking up litter or something like that, then you put it with something you really enjoy. Like you enjoy taking your dog out for a walk. You enjoy walking through nature. Now you bundled it together with the reward and suddenly it's not so bad. And once again, you've got another little thing that you've just incorporated into your life. So yeah, that's the cool thing. You can apply it to just about anything.
I like that. But you know what, Joyce, when I hear you, what I hear is this nice, sweet, positive lady, right? And me, and just being who I am, to me, that all doesn't always motivate me. One of the first examples you gave is the whole example of brushing my teeth. I brush my teeth now as an adult because my mom would like literally kill me as a child if I didn't brush my teeth. My mom was one of those, I will wake you up out of your sleep to make sure you brush your teeth. She was not the nice, sweet, like, let me give you a reward for, you know what I mean? So what about people like me who need that in order to make sure we do what we're supposed to do?
Well, if you want to be motivated by, you know,
fear, I guess, I don't know.
Oh, that's easy, right? Just open up the newspaper, just, you know, I mean, just walk around in the neighborhood and see all the trash, just, For me, see, I see it from beginning to end, you know, this stupid Walmart bag, right? And it's caught in the fence line. And it makes me crazy. It's blowing in the wind. Or, you know, there's plenty of images of turtles with straws up their nose, or, the ocean, these huge plastic ocean gyres that they've literally named them, the Great Pacific Ocean Gyre. So if that kind of stuff motivates you, it's like, I do not want that, so I'm going to choose this, then there's plenty of that out there. I guess my approach is like, it's, you know, you've never, and maybe I'm wrong because I haven't met your mom, right? But
I'll introduce you, but let me just tell you real quick, Joyce, this is the funniest thing, at least it's funny to me, but you all need to laugh because it's funny to me. But my mother's name is Patricia, right? So she has 8 brothers and sisters. And as a child, they nicknamed her Perfect Patty. So I tell people, imagine being Perfect Patty's daughter. Like, imagine that, right? Right? See, that was my life. Everything had to be perfect. Joyce, I'm going to come back to you. We were talking a little bit about fear and people living in fear, and we don't want to live in fear. But again, talking about my mother's, my mother's favorite expression, she always like, you know, expect miracles, but tie your camel. So our next guest is an expert at helping people to tie their camels, Miss Tara Bowen. She is a second generation, at least a second generation entrepreneur. Her father owned 2 businesses in Montana, and this lady is not afraid of anything. She has gone skydiving not once, not twice, but 4 times. So I don't think she's afraid of anything. Tara, are you afraid of anything?
Well, I would say there's a few things I could be afraid of, but, you know, I really like to rip that Band-Aid off and just live life to the fullest.
4 times? You went skydiving 4 times?
Yes, yes. It's so much fun. The funny thing is I'm afraid of heights, but jumping out of a plane is just like the best rush. But if I look over like a cliff, I'm like, oof, I can't do that. Like, I don't want to go hiking over that or something, but I don't know what it is. It's just an amazing rush. You have that moment to yourself and it's just really cool free fall. So
I've never gone skydiving. I think my brother did it. Who said that, Joyce or Amy? Somebody said that.
I've only done parasailing, which I love.
That's fun.
I have not taken the leap, no pun intended.
I've never even gone parasailing.
It's fantastic. I imagine the sound is similar. That quiet.
Yeah, you know, the view, just doing an oceanfront view. And then I did one in Las Vegas where you see the Hoover Dam and all the bordering states is really, really cool too.
Mm-hmm. So
Sharif is not buying it. She's like,
mm-hmm. No.
But you know why? And it's weird because, you know, one of my father's favorite expressions is know thyself. He always says, know thyself, right? And at my age, I know that I'm a control freak. I love my feet planted firmly on the ground. I don't like jumping off of buildings, heights, any, you know, even on planes sometimes. Like, my brother lives in Australia. And he's like, sis, when are you ever coming to visit me? I'm like, I don't have 14 hours worth of love for you, okay? Like, I can do like 1 hour to Vegas back and forth, but that's me. I'm a baby sister. Tara, tell us about ADP.
Yes. So, you know, it's been a rough year for everybody of all this uncertainty. And I truly just love what I do. I've been in this industry for almost 6 years coming up on. And, you know, talking about my dad owning businesses, I grew up, you know, little girl, one of my memories that always comes to mind, you know, my sister and I are sitting on the ground and we're just like, have these drawers full of receipts. And, you know, business owners, like, they work all day doing what they love. But what you don't realize is they're working all night doing the back end stuff. And that's hard because that's not what they love, right, Amy? She's like, yep. So you're buried in the administrative
office on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my dad's like, let's sort receipts. We're working tonight, you know, let's get everything together and just help him dad out. And that was our quality time at the business. You know, Saturdays were a lot of fun. That's probably where I learned my best work ethic, is like going to work with dad. And it was so funny because I'd sit up on a stool and try to help customers and they wouldn't take me seriously. They're like, oh, you're cute. I'm like, no, I want to ring you up. Like, I was like determined to learn and do it. And I was just like little kid that couldn't even see over the counter. But growing into that, I just had the passion of being in business. And and just really helping people.
Entrepreneurs that, like, that's the number one question I ask entrepreneurs, because so many people put serial entrepreneur in their resume and I'm like, okay, but what does that look like? Were you the little kid when you were like 10 or 11 who had the lemonade stand, or you were mowing lawns? Like, for me, I was exactly like you. My dad has had his own plumbing business all my life. So at like 10, 11 years old, I was customer service. I was managing the office, taking the calls, writing the invoices out, you know? So I can definitely relate, but it gives you a different mindset. It makes you into an entrepreneur a lot earlier than your peers, I would say.
Absolutely. You know, you're just kind of like born and engraved in it. And you just kind of see, you know, the success and the stress, right? And so at ADP, what I do is really just helping those entrepreneurs and business owners just strengthen their business and take off that administrative burden using human capital management and PEO together, just to be really, really strong. So you have that really good look interface, but then you have that support of experts, because you don't want to have all that time keeping up on all the HR laws, you know, every night, just to make sure you can protect your employees, you know. It's stressful. I mean, business owners really do love and want to protect their employees and provide what they can. But, you know, those small businesses, like you were saying, that 80% mark, I mean, it's just incredible how you only have so many resources or so much time. So partnering with ADP is just making you stronger and helping you focus on what you love to do as a business owner. And it just really keeps you compliant and gives you the tools and resources to be stronger and grow your business and have that plan. So I truly love what I do, and it's really rewarding every day.
You can tell. And I love the always designing for people, ADP. It's a lot of security in knowing that you don't have to do everything yourself. You know, when I first started my company, one of the things that I've learned from other companies, I work with American Express, Cheap Tickets, large companies, and they always had that employee handbook. And so I said, you know what, when I start my company, I'm going to create my employee handbook. And I sat down and I was trying to figure it out. And someone said to me, they was like, Sharifa, you can get that from ADP. And I was like, ADP does, you know, and I was like excited, because to me felt like something else I didn't have to figure out on my own. But then I was like, okay, but how are they going to know exactly about my business and how my business operates?
Yeah. So you just have your partner with your HR business partner, and they just sit down in your account manager, and they really just help you with what you need and see your job duties, descriptions, just dive in with you and put together a draft and work through it just to make it complete. So as we know in California, there's a law for everything, and that changes 24/7. So I don't know the exact number, but I know last year there was over hundreds of just changes that needs to be done just in a compliance standpoint for a handbook. So business owners don't want to live and breathe in that. It's important, but it's leave it to the expert is how I like to explain it. You know, HR loves HR. They go to those meetings, they keep up on the laws, and they love to help you for that. So why don't you just let the expert help you? You know,
I think as a business owner, you want to do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You genuinely want to do the right thing. It's finding the bandwidth to be able to do all of those things, plus what you want to do, because oftentimes doing the right thing just takes up the, you know, we had in business school, one of the things we talked about, I think the best lesson I learned, outsource where you can.
Totally.
Stimulates the economy. Let's start there. But two, you're not going to be good at everything. So you focus on your strengths and outsource your weaknesses.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, then you can focus on growing your business too. And that's what I just love is seeing, you know, year after year, just showing like, gosh, look where we are. This is so exciting. Here's the data and analytics. You know, ADP is huge with that too. You know, we pay 1 in 4 Americans. So we have that data and the insights. And it's really, really cool just to provide that to a business owner.
Yes.
Question. What is PEO?
A professional employer organization. So you're partnering with someone who, so for example, you know, ADP under the Total Source branch, you have you can protect your baseline because you're joining a pool of a master group plan and you're gaining that whole partnership to help your business. So you're gaining an army to help you with all of that, all the things that you're not an expert in.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joyce.
I was just going to say, I had no idea. It's like you, Sharifa. I was like, what? They do what? They make a handbook? What? I wish I'd known this.
It's wonderful.
No, you got all these different outsource areas that you can utilize for your business. But for me, and I always say this, I'm honest about my, you know, my weaknesses, is that I'm a perfectionist. And because I'm a perfectionist, I want to do everything myself. It's very, very difficult for me to delegate. And then once I delegate, it's like, okay, I've delegated. And then I'll go right back and pick it right back up. Because like, they didn't answer that email. I would have answered it in 5 hours. It's been 12 hours. So now let me just answer this email. So for people like me, it's difficult to just let go. How do I do that? How do I fix this?
You know, there's a self-affirmation. Well, mm-hmm. maybe you don't know.
It's
as a control freak, it's one I've had to learn. Perfect mm-hmm. is the enemy of the good.
Mm. Yes. Say that again, Amy.
Perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yes. Because you want it to be so perfect. You know, and then if it's not perfect, you kind of want to throw the baby out with the bathwater sometimes.
And there's another one that fits back into this that I just learned. And I think in a COVID year, it's really important to have this one. I mean, other than pivot, which who's not doing that, right? But also make the mess your message.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the churn, sometimes people want to know it. They don't always want to know about all of it. Like nobody wants to talk about the churn of financials, except my accountant. but like for the general public, they want to know. We do a little segment on Mondays and we call it Behind the Kitchen Door. Mm-hmm. Some days we're cutting a new flavor of marshmallow. Some days we're talking about a change that we've made in our sales strategy. Mm-hmm. And some days we're just talking about, oh my God, I don't know where last week went.
I want to go, let me know when you have the one where you're spitballing ideas for new flavors. That's what I want to sit in there and I'd be like, gumballs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just
we have bubble candy. Gum. What is it?
Cotton candy.
We have cotton candy.
Okay, this
and
is
it's
like...
very pink or very blue with sparkles.
Nice.
So you thought of everything. Now the game is like to think of something you haven't thought of.
Yeah.
Like taco marshmallows.
We haven't done taco, actually. We've done buffalo. Like we do a buffalo marshmallow that we put on pretzels. So you make like a pretzel treat instead of a Rice Krispie treat.
Mm-hmm.
We've done, I want to do Bloody Mary. That's the one that's on my list right now.
A Bloody Mary marshmallow. Amy.
I know. This is why there's R&D and we don't just automatically say, because you know, it's not going to be for everybody.
Yes. And you see, that's why you have to have a partner. That's what I need, a partner. I need someone who's like, no, Sharifa, that I have no one in my life who's like, no, Sharifa.
I did not have people who said no. I think it would be much more interesting. I mean, we'd be bankrupt. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I need a partner because all my ideas coincidentally always come to me at 3 a.m. And I always think they're brilliant. And I have no one. It's 3 a.m. I have no one to bounce these ideas off of. And I'm like,
3 a.m. for you is 6 a.m. for me. You can call me.
Okay.
I'm going to call you. I get my idea in the shower. Usually it's in the shower and you have to like reach out. You can't have your phone in the bathroom. I've learned this lesson. Ask me how. You can't have a pen and scribble paper nearby.
You know what? Hey Siri.
Those things scare me. I don't have like the Echo or any of those devices. And I think it comes from working in the world of clearances. So mm-hmm. I won't have those in my house. And my friends are all like, well, what the hell? You're being tracked anyway. I mean, what difference does it make? I'm like, I don't need to know that this thing is listening all the time.
Right. Joyce, join us. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? We're listening to Amy and her marshmallow ideas.
I love it. And I want to take off on the point she made about the perfect is the enemy of the good. Okay, so there's another one I've heard recently, which Perfect Patty's daughter might need. It worked for me. And that is take massive imperfect action, right? So it's kind of just do it, right? Just do it big and let it be okay that it's not perfect.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, Joyce, you had said something about the five whys. You were talking about the five whys, and it's like, oh, so it's act like a 3-year-old and consistently ask the question. But there's a, it's not professional development. It's kind of an adult education group that we have in Atlantic City. And it's called Explain It To Me Like I'm Five. Mm-hmm. And they take these really big concepts and then they just break them down. But it's like, oh, well, now I get it. And maybe it's something I wouldn't have looked at normally. Like they did a whole thing on history and they, how the Constitution was developed. Well, explain it to me like I'm five. Don't give it to me up here like I'm in a graduate level class. And it makes it so much more real. So I think the five whys makes it, it allows you, it's not so much a strategy, but then you have very specific implementation points.
And this goes with another one that I've heard from customer service days, right? Don't get mad, get curious, right? So we can even use the five whys when we're in relationships, right? Like, man, they did this and that torqued me off. Well, why did they do that? Oh, well, why did they do that? And pretty soon you kind of get there and you get a little bit of empathy. And now you've listened more than you've spoken. And you are probably in a place where you're going to be able to instead of just being butting heads, right? So I love that one too. I promise you, I'm a work in progress. I have to remind myself of that like all the time. Don't get mad, get curious.
I love that.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Tara, what's the number one question that business owners ask you when they come to ADP?
Number one, let's see. It's really different on the industry, honestly. It's on where their weaknesses would be, right? So like how it's either HR related or safety and risk related, or like benefits. So I don't really have an exact top question, but a lot of people just want to know more about it. Like Joy said, what's PEO? It's starting to become more and more popular, a lot more and more common. And a lot of business owners really push to partner with a strong PEO or professional employer organization. We're, you know, the top and one of the largest almost PEOs, you know, in the nation, and just having a larger pool, they're really curious on how we can help. So they're asking more of the questions and they're curious on like, how can you help me? How does this work? And so painting that big picture and having those meetings with these business owners and just showing like how each criteria and channel would work and help them be strong.
Do you also word liability and risk?
We do, yes.
We you know, liability and risk, especially over the last 7 months, has become a much larger issue for small business owners, you know, whether you're service-based or product-based.
Yeah, and definitely it's not that no one doesn't think of it, but sometimes it's not that shower moment, right? Where you're like, oh, I'm really behind on this, or like, what is going on? So it's probably by the industry, if the business owners in the field, out the field, you know, more customer-based versus, you know, at home, and just kind of just depending on the state too, but California is a beast, right?
Yeah, that's what everyone says. I love California, but I just love business owners. I love helping entrepreneurs and small business owners. I love learning from their stories. One of the things that I found interesting about Joyce is that she used her own personal story of overcoming breast cancer, being a breast cancer survivor, to start on her journey. Tell us a little bit about that and when you started, please, Joyce.
Yeah, I've always loved, like when Tara was out like skydiving, I was like walking through the woods, right? Feet firmly planted on the ground, but just it's what I did as a little kid. And I find now I gravitate back to that. And so I got in the environmental field and I did that for 20 years for somebody else. And now I've done 18 years as my own business. But 3 years ago, you know, so I work for big companies, right? I work for big companies. We help them with compliance, with their emissions and their discharges and things like that. And so there can be a lot of regulations. And I wouldn't say it's not fulfilling, but sometimes it's just a little more bureaucratic, you know, than might inspire you. And so I've always kind of tried to be a little bit more sustainable, but not great at it, right? And when I went through that whole little cancer journey in 2017, you know, lost the hair, everything else. But, you know, I was one of the lucky ones. It was stage one. I'm cured, essentially, take a little bit of medicine, you know, from here on out. And I ended up being really tired. And I was like, and it just kept, you really tired when you got chemo, and it just didn't go away. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like in my mid 50s. Am I old already? Am I done? You know? And I just wasn't sleeping well. And so finally I saw my medical oncologist in beginning of 2019, I think. And I was like, oh my God, could this still be from the chemo? That's a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And she asked me a few questions, looked at my age, and said, you know what? You need a sleep study. So I went and got a sleep study. I hated to say it, but it turned out I had sleep apnea and I needed a little machine. But you know, this thing changed my life, right? So then this whole process helped me see just how hard it is, even when you're really motivated, to make these little changes that you really want to make and make you feel bad when you don't. So I said, okay, there's got to be a way that people can do this and still give themselves a break, right? And that's kind of what I put in the book. I feel like nobody has ever been shamed, scolded, or embarrassed into a sustainable habit. You might get short-term results. You might get temporary results. You might brush your teeth, right, when you're little because mama said so, and it's just going to happen. But now as an adult, you've incorporated that, right? There's no more shame, scolding, or embarrassment. So I just, instead of people avoiding and turning away and going, it's too much, can't do it, I want them to be able to find these little small wins. And I don't know what that is for them. You know, it might be sorting recycling, right? I don't know. It could be big. It could be little. But once they do that and they incorporate that, then they can move forward and they can build on it. And they might start doing some bigger things. Like me, I am a huge introvert. For me, this right here is skydiving off of that plane. Like, there. Okay.
All right. And I'm going crazy sitting right here.
Exactly. See, that's the exact point, is that it's like, it's
I love that. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you for just sharing that. I love that. I was just saying that today. I'm actually an introvert, but I have to bring my energy up and be extroverted in order to engage with all of you. So
I don't believe that for a minute.
It's true. It is so true. Because when I'm out and I'm up, people gravitate to me, and then I have to be up, and it takes a lot of energy. And so then what happens? I wind up just going back in my house and being a recluse to save energy.
To restore the energy.
Yes, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. But I love people. I just am actually introverted. Joyce, go ahead. I'm sorry. That's what I do.
Oh,
I just
no, that's great. No, and so to that point, what I learned is, and that what got me out there, is it turns out, and I didn't really think about this until I part of my journey, there is a cost to not sharing, right? And just think of all the people that, if you want to do the environmental movement, I go back to Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, 1960s. She told the story about how pesticides were being used just like grossly overused. Like just, I don't mean a little bit here and there selectively, which is, you know, you kind of need that. I mean like dumping it over forests and rivers, you know, talk about killing a gnat with a hammer. And it was killing the fish, the birds, you know, the bald eagles have recovered now. She was introverted. She was a science writer, and it ended up she was on the tail end of breast cancer. She lived about 18 more months after that, and she was maligned by the chemical industry. You can only imagine in the 1960s. Imagine if she hadn't shared, right? I mean, how long would it have taken us? And I'm sure every one of us sitting here can find an example of somebody that shared something that made a difference for us. So I think us quiet ones, if we can see the value and the contribution we're gonna make, there's things we're gonna speak up for, because it's
yes, Absolutely. Right? I agree, because I've said that a million times. Everything, I've been laid off 8 times. I've lost everything I've owned. You know, I've been divorced twice, and I'm going through all these different things, but I share my story just so I can help and relate to other people, especially entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are my heart. You know, it's November 3rd. The rest of the world is going crazy right now. And even when I ran for Long Beach City Council, when everybody was talking about every other issue, I always would like create jobs, create jobs, create jobs, create jobs. Because without jobs, you know, small businesses are the heart of America, you know. So when your heart stops, what happens to the human body? So it's the same thing. So my focus is always, let's create jobs so we can have more jobs for people like Tara, you know, people for Tara to help. So that's kind of how I look at it.
So small businesses are creating, this is from 2019.
Okay.
They're creating 1.5 million jobs annually. It's 64% of new jobs created in the US. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's
but who do we hear about in the news? Google, mm-hmm. Amazon. I was with Deloitte, and I had been mm-hmm. with EDS back in the day. I don't ever want to be that big.
Mm-hmm. My first job out of high school was with TWA, with Transworld Airlines. And I remember being this 18-year-old kid who went in and was like, why are you faxing reservations? And their response, you know, like, why don't you email it? And their response to me was, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we will always do it. And I like, now as an adult, I learned from that. You know what I mean? Because you have to adapt. Somebody's joining the show. Like, I don't know who's joining the show, whoever it is. I want to talk to them. I want to say hi.
I'm going to close the door.
I'm like, kids and pets, join the show. Bring back marshmallows when you come back.
Back marshmallows when I'm done. Now I'm just going to carry it with me. Done.
Okay, wait, because I see a pay to the order back there. I needed that to say Sharifa Hardy. My eyes, I saw a check. It said pay to the order of. I'm like, Sharifa Hardy.
That right is there. A micro grant we received.
Sharifa Hardy. Let's get back to Sharifa Hardy, though.
Micro grants available for small businesses, Sharifa, thanks to private and public partnerships. So yeah. York County Economic Alliance, we were the first winner of the York County Bloom Grant. And it's what allowed us to move into wholesale in 2016. It allowed us to buy a piece of equipment that increased our efficiency by about 40%. And so we were the only for-profit business to receive the grant. The other three recipients were nonprofits. And so we were very thankful, and we pay it forward by working with a nonprofit every quarter, either mm-hmm. with a donation about the size of a micro grant or product donation. So we did a lot of work in the spring. We made donations to first responders as well as our healthcare workers that are here in York County. And we also supplied to several food banks that popped up around the area.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Now, again, marshmallows. This is all stemmed from just marshmallows. So mm-hmm. what are you expanding to? Because I know you kind of hinting at it. Is it too early to discuss it?
It's not too early. I mean, we have a 10-year strategic plan, which changes every year. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you write it and then you revise it and you write it and you revise it. So we have 11 products right now. Mm-hmm. Whether it's just a traditional boxed marshmallow. I think I showed you these earlier, but these are our smorks. They're s'mores on forks. Again, mm-hmm. no camping. Mm-hmm. That one happens to be chocolate chip mint. That's going out today. End game for me, though, everyone's familiar with gummy vitamins, gummy yes. cough yes. drops.
Do those even work, though? Is that a tangent? Never mind. Go ahead, Amy.
I think they work. They don't make me nauseous like a regular vitamin will.
That is
It's my little win. It's what did you say? A dirt sandwich. So a gummy yes. vitamin is my version of a dirt sandwich. I'll take a vitamin if it's in a gummy. I'm not going to take it if it's in a pill.
And kids will eat them for the kiddos, you know?
Exactly. And that's the perfect transition for me. So end game for Marshmallow MBA is to be in pharmaceutical. I lost my brother to lymphoma 3 years ago, and my grandmother, whose recipe this is, both of them struggled taking pills. Mm-hmm. They could always eat marshmallows. Mm-hmm. So end game for me, True Pharma. We are putting CBD into our athlete recovery marshmallow, which is available now, limited. We're waiting to see what happens on the referendum here in New Jersey. Because you can do edibles in marshmallow form, but True Pharma is where I want to be within the next 5 years. Again, not much difference between a gummy and a marshmallow, but the marshmallow is fat-free, it's egg-free, it's dairy-free, it's gluten-free, all of them naturally. We can do a marshmallow fully organic.
You know what I would like? We have tons of people overdosing on them because they're so good.
That's where the risk mitigation comes in and the liability insurance. Right. And all the little small warnings. Packaging. Yeah, small packaging.
I need a date night one. That's what I want. Like, put together a date
what
night.
What kind of date night do you want? Because we have that, a kind of line that goes along with that.
That's what I want to hear.
Depending on if
about.
It's a first date or it's later on in the relationship. That might be a different show.
I'm speechless, Amy. It is 8:45 in the morning.
It's 11:45 in the morning here.
She's ahead of us. She's going.
Okay, look.
So when you say date marshmallow, what are you thinking?
You know, this is what I'm thinking. You know,
we're
when you
friends
have
here.
Right. You know what I mean? My date night might be different from yours, you know? I'm a good wholesome girl, you know what I mean? So at least that's what I tell them.
Any cover story.
Right. So you know how you have that romantic night, you got the hotel, it has the fireplace. Now you need some little things. Oh, look at Amy, look at it.
And marshmallow.
Right.
So this is a s'more box. So we've got an extra large marshmallow, a whole Hershey bar, 4 pieces of graham cracker. Oh, wait, if your hotel doesn't have a fireplace, microwave instructions.
Wow, I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So is that in my basket that I'm ordering?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. I need to trap a man. I'm sorry, excuse me. I didn't mean to say
meet a nice man and have a date.
That's
not trap a man and have him take you to a hotel. That's wrong. Perfect Patty wouldn't like that.
I know Perfect Patty would not be. I'm hoping Perfect Patty is not watching this show.
No, Mama, we're kidding. We're kidding, Mama.
But remember, okay, know thyself.
It's true.
See?
Right?
And the 5 wise. I think we're back to the 5 wise.
Yes.
The date is just being curious.
Yes. I'm not mad. I'm curious. I'm curious as to how all of you 3 ladies are gonna get me in trouble with my mother, and I'm grown. Like, how does this work? Like, I'm in trouble for hanging with people I ain't even met.
I'm trying to make
new friends.
I've called that a lot of times. You can take the girl out of Catholic school, but you can't take Catholic school out of the girl. I mean, the things that I feel guilty for sometimes. Or if I walk past a nun on the street, I'm like, I'm sure I did something wrong.
See, but why is mine different? Mine is you can take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the girl. Cause that's me. You know what I mean? I'm in Los Angeles, grew up in South Central. So I do my nice professional entrepreneur business shows. But
Sharifa, you can throw down. We know this.
I know. I don't like to let everyone know because then they might not want to come back. Like you, Amy, you're a tough cookie.
It's all cover. No, I'm a nice girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm Catholic school, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Are you still okay, Joyce? Because we're skydiving and I don't even know where this went. I don't want to make
thinking, it. You know who I'm worried about? I'm worried Tara. About Tara. Right?
What is right? Tara?
Like, I have to sit in this chair for how long? Okay, so we need to get back to Tara. I want to hear about how somebody who skydives likes managing, you know, receipts. To me, they don't go together.
Excellent question.
Well, so I'm a district manager in this on the sales side. So I'm, you know, out, like I said, extroverted. I'm out meeting people, not in today's day and world, but especially, you know, normally, in a normal time, I strive just to like make that relationship, shake that hand. Right now it's Zoom, which you can, you know, get some FaceTime on that. But you know, we have the experts that handle that, you know, so I'm not the one actually, you know, managing your receipts. I'm not the accountant part. But, you know, I just, it's so fast paced, you know, in this industry, things are changing by the day, by the week. And that's what I love. Everything's different. And I like to reach out to my network in my industry and be able to help them. Hey, there's a new law, heads up, whether you're a client or not, I don't care. I want to be able to help you. Maybe you can utilize our service in a year or two, whenever it makes sense for you. Just giving you the knowledge and the insights. Right now, what we're doing is we're giving out benchmark reports so we can benchmark your business. And that doesn't cost anything, you know, it's just a simple couple meetings with myself and my team, reaching out, maybe you're in a different area, just reach out to ADP. But that's really just diving in and honing on what's going on in your industry. Is there any talent? Are you going to see any struggles? How is COVID affecting your business? And how is it going to be in the next 10-year span? And so getting that data has just been huge right now. And that's what I've just been doing. The struggle definitely is trying to get people on the phone because no one's in the office. So mm-hmm. You guys have any tips? I'm all ears. But it's hard because election people, you know, everyone's on the phone, all those text messages, you're trying to reach out, and it's a lot right now. So I hope it slows down a little bit and things start getting better.
I think things just will be so better probably the beginning of the week, because I think like people don't want to focus or talk or anything about anything else aside from the election. That's what every conversation kind of goes on to every show, every, you know, all you see on social media is people are discussing the election. I also, when you mentioned that people are not in their office, we went from probably about 20% of people working remotely to probably 80% of people working remotely. So people are not in their office per se, but now I have found that people are even more available than they were before, because they may have been on their commute or they may have been in their office and they're doing so many different things. Now they're at home. I think the key for me, since you asked, is just trying to develop those relationships with small business owners, because for most of this global quarantine, in addition to pivoting, a lot of business owners have been pausing. They have been going, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do, what direction I'm going to go into. I'm not going to be hiring. So it may be something that's not on their priority list. What I would recommend as a business consultant is to go out and actively, again, put that on their priority list because of 2021 coming up. You know, it's a new year. You have to get prepared for hiring. If you're prepared to hire, you know, do you have these things in place? That would be my recommendation. Any thoughts, Amy or Joyce?
I've noticed for us, and like I said, we do both retail and wholesale sales. Mm-hmm. Our retail has increased probably 40% because we have space where our wholesale has dropped off. Our wholesale sales, if you had asked me in April if I was going to be sitting here in November, I don't know that I would have told you yes. Mm-hmm. We're still down about 60%. Most of our wholesale sales are done, just like Sharifa said, with managing customer relationships face-to-face at trade shows.
Right.
We've now moved, we weren't going to do it, but there's an online portal called FAIR for wholesale product sales to retailers. We moved to FAIR in the middle of October to cover our wholesale product sales. What we're seeing is our customers telling us where they would normally have bought in July, they were waiting until October and now November to make purchases because they don't know what rules are going to change, to your point about, you know, the HR rules changing, but just operationally rules are changing so much. And not that customers don't want to purchase product, but they're just so fearful of making a plan and getting caught short. And I have so much empathy for that because, again, we're working with so many other small businesses. I have 4 customers who will not recover from this. They're going to keep their doors closed. Right. One is a 4-generation business. And I can't imagine, I mean, just talking to her on the phone, we were in tears together, but I can't imagine the depth of pain that's involved in shutting the doors to that business. And pushing, you know, just pushing to be successful every day, but then to also know that this is your family and you did this out of love and out of care. And now through act of God or whatever you want to call it with this pandemic, it's just an untenable situation to be in.
Right.
But having empathy, finding compassion where you can,
yeah.
And not throwing yourself down in the fetal position in a corner.
Right.
Hey, those are all wins.
Right. It's the things that we could be doing. And I believe me, I've seen so many business owners who wanted to take that position, but they had to get creative. They had to figure it out. I want to thank you all for joining us. What I like to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. Tara, quickly, what would you like our audience to take away from your appearance?
Well, thank you everyone so much for your time and toning in to watch us, but just take away, just, I would love to help and benchmark your business and see where you can become stronger and stabilize your business and cut maybe any costs where you can, but just let alone have a great partnership. So please reach out to me on LinkedIn or tara.boehm, B-O-E-H-M @ADP.com.
Absolutely. Thank you. Joyce, what would you like our audience, you're welcome, to take away from our show, from your appearance?
So if you look around, get in your backyard, look at nature, you look at it, you're going to start loving it. You start loving it, you're going to want to protect it. You want to protect it, you're going to be willing to make small changes in your life that can build up to big things. So you want some help with that, figuring out how to incorporate that with all the other crazy that's going on in the world, pick up my book, The Last Straw, Change Your Life and the Planet for Good. Easiest way to get it is go to my website, thelaststrawbook.com.
Absolutely, thelaststrawbook.com. Pick up a copy. Amy, go ahead and take us out.
Oh, I'll go ahead and take you out. I love doing this, Sharifa. Thank you so much. I always have such a good time with you.
I do too.
I think the most important thing that I think I want to take away today or leave as a takeaway today is something that my pastor said to me 6 years ago. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a nice way to maybe set ourselves up going into the new year. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about that now and finding your passion, finishing a project, start something new, but love what you do, do what you love.
And marshmallows. We got to talk about marshmallows.
And marshmallows. Hey, our marshmallows, you can always find us marshmallowmba.com. And we are at marshmallowmba across all social media. And retail sales are available and we are shipping nationwide.
Ooh, that's right. We had to get us a little store here, though, in California. I love to go check out.
I'll come out and see you.
That's right. Come out here. I would love it. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support. Please go ahead and share this show. And please visit our guest website. Pick up a copy of their book, The Last Straw Book. Go ahead and order your marshmallows. And you know what? If you're a small business owner and you need some help with HR, go ahead and contact Tara at ADP. Now, if you need assistance with your business and you want to find out more ways that I can help you, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.